So this morning I have a title which is called The Seven Churches. The Seven Churches. And you might be surprised because you've never heard me speak in Revelation. It's, you know, something I stay away from. Well, you're not going to hear any verses this morning either in the book of Revelation. And I do put a question mark behind it. I say the seven churches with a question mark. Because I think that's a good way to write an article. And I'm going to talk about Paul Gabel, briefly at the end of this lesson. I just want to make a comment about an article Paul Gabel wrote, which I think Ron knew him and some of you. But he also put a question mark behind his called His Return Predictable. Is His Return Predictable? So that's with a question mark. So that's a good thing. I mean, the Lord gives us scripture. We consider it. And, some things maybe we just have to put back in the back of our minds for a while, but then later we have other things that come out. But to start, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 12 through 15. And, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and confidence in the confidence, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Now, this is one place where the definite article appears, the faith, but it's not the same the faith as we think of as the church, which is His body, which is part of the faith. And Tony had a good message on this at the Peru conference also, talking about the faith of Him, the faith of Him, and even saying that Christ is faith. I mean, He exemplifies faith in every single way. So without the faith of Him, we wouldn't have the faith that we're also privileged to be a part of. And then in verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So Paul had tribulations. Here we are. All of the things that happened in Acts, all of the tribulations he went through there, and there were more. Here he gets the mystery. He gets thrown in prison, in a second imprisonment. That's a different study though. What I'm trying to accomplish this morning is to show you in scripture where there were seven churches that knew the mystery. Seven churches that knew the mystery. In a way, we could call that the early church. And of course, we say that we try to qualify that word ecclesia to mean the called out ones, but, for sake of simplicity, I'll use the word church. Now, so Paul had many tribulations as we do. We have many tribulations. And it seems to me that the spiritual warfare is alive and well, if maybe more than ever before. Then in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's Paul's prayer. And as all of the examples of prayer in scripture, we start off with the Father, our Father which art in heaven. You know, Christ said, pray after this manner. Let's start with, you know, if we could actually say the right words to give justice to our Father. But here Paul does. He For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom every family in the note in heaven and earth is named. And that's what we have in these seven churches. We have seven families. And Jan has called us our little family. And maybe we're different families in the world today, you know, in Europe and in England, rather. Some people, there used to be a group in Australia that met. I'm not sure now. But that's the word patria, for father, you know, the fatherhood. We're all under that one fatherhood who is our head, Christ our head. So, and I want to couple that before I get into the seven churches with Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So these seven churches that we're going to talk about all share that in common with us. They're seated in the heavenlies, just like we're seated in the heavenlies. And the Lord put all of these verses in Scripture for a reason. And it should give us confidence that we're not alone. We're not alone in the world. And many came before us and fought the same battles that we're fighting right now. And they are the same battles, as I'm going to comment when we get to Crete, the church in Crete with Titus. But first, let's turn to the first church we'll look at is the church in Philippi. We know that in the book of Philippians that there was a church there. So also what I'm trying to bring out here is how do we know for sure that these are mystery epistles? Most people don't question it, though, because of tradition. Tradition has pretty much dated these last seven books after Acts anyway. So we don't get much of an argument out of that, but there is internal evidence to show the mystery epistles. And we have lots of names. I didn't count them, or I didn't tabulate them, but let's start in Philippians 2 and Philippians 2 and verse 1. Let's see. Yeah, 1 through 7 we'll start with. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. But here's the perfect example of a man who teaches Scripture. He doesn't get down on us and say, hey, you better do this thing. You know, Paul pleads with us to do these things. He encourages us and tries to give us boldness and confidence, and he tries to work with us in those ways. He never tries to put fear in our minds, because it doesn't work anyway. How many churches do you know that, how many religions, rather, do you know that the fear actually has a positive impact on a person's life? I don't know. But then in verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, now from 5 on, Paul is going to talk about what went on during the Acts period, during the kingdom message. And here, once we get up to verse 8, He's going to denounce everything that in his lifetime that ever brought him up to verse 8. He's going to denounce every bit of this kingdom responsibility that he had. But let's read these 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and was made in likeness of a man, and being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, let's go to chapter 3 of Philippians, because this is where it's verse 3:8 rather that he denounces, not 2:8, 3:8 that he denounces his life up to that point. So let's start in verse 4 here. Philippians 3:4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth, I think there's 7 things here. The eighth day, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, Pharisee, persecuting the church, righteousness. I was blameless in the righteousness which is of the law. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. All of these things mean nothing now. All of these, kingdom truths. And this is how I say that we can say that Philippians, he knew the mystery. Because here in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. In other words, the excellency of the knowledge of the mystery of these, of this new thing that God has given me that I can spread to all of you. But now in verse 9, he starts looking forward into the mystery truths. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but for which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him, gnosko, get to know him, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the out-resurrection of the dead. That's new. That's the out-resurrection has to do with being resurrected out from among believers, people that are already going to be resurrected. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and looking forward, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And then he... And then, you know, Paul in Ephesians and, the last 3 chapters, he tells us how to do that. He tells us how we attain this perfection. He gives us all of the tools we need in his books. And, let me see here real quick. Okay, let's keep reading. Let's go down to verse 20. For our conversation is in, our citizenship is in the heavens. That's new. This is the first time it was ever revealed that we would have a heavenly hope other than the New Jerusalem, which comes down to earth, which is the higher hope. But that, they call that a heavenly hope. But what he's talking about here is a citizenship in the heavenly places, the heavens. So that's new. And then who shall change our vile bodies? I don't think that's in the, I don't think there's going to be spiritual bodies in the kingdom. I think they're going to be revived as in, Ezekiel, what is it, 37, 38, the dry bones. They're going to be revived and they're going to live though 1,000 years. So that is going to be a different body. They're going to have a different body, but God has the ability to, you know, put his hand on somebody and they not age. You'll see that in Joshua 14:10 when you talk about Caleb. And it's, and Caleb talking here says, and now behold, and remember, he was the only faithful, him and Joshua were the faithful ones who wanted to enter the land now. Because God can surely give it to us. And here he was 45 years later as though he had not aged a single day. In verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept us alive, kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses and the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, you know, for 40 years, and all of those people died out. All of those other people died out, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And he was just like, he could come and go just like he was when he was 45. Same thing in the kingdom. God, and that's sort of a message we get in the dating all the way up to the flood, how people lived almost 1,000 years, which would be called a man's day. So that's I say is new, Philippians 3:21 as well. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say on Philippians. The next one we're going to look at is Colossians. And we don't have to talk about did Paul know the mystery in Ephesians or Colossians. No one's going to question that. So, but let's turn to Colossians 1:1, where it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful, two different things. There are saints and there are faithful brethren. Now you can be a saint and you can be a faithful brethren, but, and I know there's different, commentaries on this verse, but, you know, you could say we're faithful saints, but here he listed it in the original, quite distinctly, the two faithful brethren and saints, and I think that's Paul's way, again, of encouraging us. See, you're a saint, and it's like, you know, maybe you're a faithful brethren, you know, if you have that heart with God and you love his appearing and so forth. So, there we have that comment, but let's go to chapter 3 of Colossians. Where it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It's kind of what we're doing right here. We're looking at things that belong to God. All of these names and all these people who he has chosen to be members of this same church that we're members of, you know, that's why we set our affection up on things above. So in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. When the manifestation. When Christ is manifest, so will we be, and so will all of these seven churches, question mark, and the all of the people we've known even in our lifetime who have gone on before us. And, you know, we trust we're going to see them again. So that's the manifestation that we're waiting for, and many people in the grave. In chapter 4, I can't read that whole, it'd be nice to read that whole chapter, but in 3 and 4 of chapter 4 of Colossians, it says, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds." Now, was Paul in prison so that he could teach the mystery, or was he in prison because he did preach the mystery? And Oscar said it was because he did preach the mystery. And if you don't say it that way, it'll change what you read in Acts 28 through the end of the chapter. It'll change all of that. But I just want to open that up for question. You know, if Paul was in prison because he was preaching the mystery, that means Ephesus, the church of Ephesus in this book, or actually Laodicea, where he wrote it to. Oh, no, I beg your pardon. See, there I go. See, we've got three churches. We got Colossae, Laodicea, and Ephesus, all close to each other. We also have Aeropolis, which we know very little about. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So here we are. And then let's go down to verse 7. Here we have all these names in the church of Colossae. "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." Now that goes along with verse 18. That says, "The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be unto you. Amen." So Tychicus delivered this letter and probably hand wrote it and then delivered it. Paul just signed it. Even a blind man can sign his name if you put the pencil right on the right spot. But at this point, I think Paul's eyes were not too good. So he just signed this epistle. But in verse 9, here's another name. "Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, which is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here." So here we have Onesimus. And before I go farther, keep your hand there for a second. All I'm going to do is read Philemon. Because Philemon and Colossae go together. Philemon, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, to our beloved Apphia and Archippus. We also see Archippus back here. That's in verse 17. Archippus, so he was a member in the church of Colossae. And Apphia and Archippus. So we got a lot of names. Our fellow to the church in thy house. So there weren't too many people if it was in a house. But, you know, it is whatever it is. We don't know how many there were. And one other verse is verse 10. "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." So Onesimus belonged to Colossae. Onesiphorus, we're going to see, belonged to the church in Ephesus. So don't confuse Onesimus with Onesiphorus. One is Colossae, one is Ephesus. And we'll see that in a second. But Then we have verse 10, Colossians 4, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. Okay, here we have another possible church in Rome. Paul presumably wrote to the church in Colossae from Rome. And he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus. So he had people with him there in Rome, and during the 2 years, people could come to him, and he turned no one away, not Jew, not Gentile. It was like a church. And we have other names of, in Rome, I think we'll see in a minute. But, so that's why the question mark. Can you call that a church? You know, because nowhere does it really say there, but there appears to have been believers in Rome, and that's why I'm calling that one of the seven churches. Verse 11, and Jesus, who is also called Justice, who are of the circumcision. And to that verse I say, Jews too? You mean Jews are also accepted? You know, we were talking about this the other day, Chico and Ron and myself. And I think what we can say is that the Jews are no longer his chosen people. It's not so much that they are not my people. They are not my chosen people. That's what they lost. That's what Israel lost when the mystery came along. You're no longer number one. And, even though all of these Jews in the Old Testament are chosen people. So, then Epaphras in verse 12. I gotta hurry up here. Then in verse 13 we have, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Aeropolis. There were them in Aeropolis. So evidently there was a small church there. But we also have Laodicea, which is probably the book of Ephesians. Most people believe that that book that Paul wrote to Laodicea was a circular and that it had to find its way to many cities. So they would fill in the name of that city when it would go there. Well, the Greek text that we have extant show Ephesus in one of them. So we've always called it the book of Ephesians, but probably the book of Laodicea. And in verse 14, Luke, Demas. And then we know who led the church, Nymphas. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. Here we have another church in a house. When this epistle is read, you know, get along with each other, you churches. It's a, let's study together. Give them this book and you read their book. They both complement each other. That's Ephesians and Colossians. They're parallel books. And then we read verse 18. So, here we have the book, here we have both Colossae, we have a lot of names, we have Laodicea. So there's three churches already. Philippians, Colossae, Laodicea. Now, as you know, there's seven books written after Acts 28:28, or the end of Acts, you could say. There's seven books written, and one of them is Timothy. Now, how do we know Timothy and Titus are mystery epistles? How do we know those are mystery epistles? And we have that, of course, in Titus. Let's see, 1 Timothy 1:9. Where's it? 1:2. Got my verse off. 1 Timothy, Well, let me just say, both Timothy and Titus, and I'll do the one in Titus, actually, because both of them say the same thing, that God, somebody might have, okay, another one, okay, Titus 1, 2, I can get to it, talks about before the world began, the promise of life. And Oscar used to point this out. To Timothy, my delivered, I'm still in 2 Timothy. Wow. Okay, I didn't put enough tabs. All right. In hope of eternal life, Titus 1, 2, then same thing we have in 1 Timothy, which makes 1 and 2 Timothy mystery epistles. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Not since the world, as all kingdom truths were, but before the world. So here we have that as proof that these are mystery epistles. But in, let's see. I want to skip through some of this. We got names, Priscilla and Aquila is in, and the one thing I'm bringing this up for is because in Ephesus, that's where Timothy was stationed. And that's in, where he said that, it's amazing. I don't even have the verse where he says that, is it 1:3? Yeah, 1:3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers in pure conscience, that without ceasing I have in remembrance of thee my prayers night and day. No, I didn't say Ephesus. I wrote down the wrong verse there too, but anyway, that's the other church. So we've got four churches now. Philippi, Colossae, Laodicea, Ephesus, where Timothy was stationed. So we know there was a church there. And then finally in Titus 1:5, we have Crete. And I don't have time to read it, but out of the two Babylons, it talks about Zeus. And even today, I Googled it. It's been over a year, though, that there's a movement in the island of Crete, which is a Greek island, by the way, and Zeus was a Greek god, and they're bringing back Zeus worship and even the Semiramis worship, which is the worship of the woman, and it's a big thing. And I bring it up because someone just started doing it on that island, and they were so surprised at how much response they got out of it. People are just waiting for these old things that happened, you know, millennia ago to come back. And it's going to be the same, you know, the last days, it's going to be the same Nimrod worship and the same things that they went through back then. So, there's other proofs like that of how that, you know, this paganism is coming back and coming alive, the same names. And we had Hierapolis. So there's your seven, Philippi, Colossae, Laodicea, Ephesus, Crete, Hierapolis, and possibly Rome, if you want to call that a church. And there's more on it. I didn't get this organized as well as I would have liked to. But so okay, we talked about all that. Then I just want to make one statement about Paul Gable's article, which is called "His Return Predictable," and what his idea here is that if you, and most of you are familiar with Hosea 6:1-2, you couple that with 2 Peter 3:8, you know, one day is 1,000 years. Well, in Hosea chapter 6, 1 and 2, this is something I thought was interesting out of this article. It says, come and let us return unto the Lord. And this again is where the 2 days starts. The question is, where does the 2 days start? Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. So the smitten is when the Gentiles were grafted in, and the whole book of Romans, the message behind it is the obedience of faith to the nations. So at this point, it was a critical time in Israel's life that you have to see that even though you're still my chosen people, I'm not happy. I'm going to graft in the Gentiles. So they were smitten right there at the end. And so that's where he starts the 2 days, because Israel was alive and well up until the mystery was revealed. Well, he places that as 64 AD. And I personally place it at 63, specifically at the Passover. That I believe is when the mystery was revealed, 63 at the Passover, but that's neither here nor there. So I thought that was a good article. I thought he's a good student. But he was a very good student the way he presented it. But So in conclusion, I just want to read Ephesians 4:16. We read Ephesians 3:15. Boy, I keep writing down the wrong number on my notes. It's Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you, and we read verse 15, of whom every family in heaven and earth is named. So here he talks about the mystery and builds everything up to this verse 15. There's a big build up about the mystery here. And then in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Let me just read that one more time, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So Paul gave us everything we need to do this. It's up to us in our relationship working out this salvation of ours with fear and trembling, but not through fear, but it's through his faith, the faith of him. And we have this in common with all of these names. I didn't count them, but there's quite a few names that we know of. And who knows, in the heavenly places, we're going to be seated. Well, maybe they're going to be sitting right next to us. Now, I say that kind of jokingly, but I don't know what that means, seated, that we're seated anyway. So I throw that out anyway, that who knows who we're going to be seated next against. But anyway, with that, I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for this group, for these great Bible students that look up to you, Lord, with the truthing in love, with the heart that we want you, Lord, to touch us, to help us to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we have been called. And bless those who need a special touch, Lord. Help us to pray for each other and to love each one another. And we pray all of these things in your great name. Amen.